That song makes you feel better or worse? Of course, Cutting Crew and I've Been in Love Before. This is Dr. Michelle on the couch. Happy Friday. Everybody around here in the studio goes, but it's Friday, yahoo! But we have so much fun talking on the air here at BBS Talk Radio. This is, like I said, Dr. Michelle. Welcome! High atop Los Angeles, downtown, 36th floor. We're having a good time. It's a beautiful day today. It's raining here in Los Angeles, if you are listening from elsewhere. Of course, we always talk about relationships. It's my favorite topic because I am the relationship expert. I help a lot of folks out with their issues in my private practice and also on the air here at BBS Talk Radio. But we talk about a lot of other stuff, too, and I invite you to join in. Give me a call if you'd like to. And if you have any issues, you have any questions, you want to share some really cool relationship information with us on how you made your relationship better or how you had a really bad relationship and it was kind of destructive. The number here, toll free, 1-866-515-6977. 1-866-515-6977. If you're calling outside the U.S., 1-323-284-2554, whatever your code is, internationally. Welcome, world. Dr. Michelle at your side, on the couch. We're talking about how to make your relationships succeed or fail. And what I'd like to talk today about are destructive relationships. What makes a relationship go kablooey? You hear me flipping my papers? Yes, I need notes. Anyway, we're talking about what things can you do to destroy a relationship? We all have done it, right? Most of us have been programmed to fail in our relationships, no matter how much we want to succeed. Don't you think? You know, to make matters worse, much of what we've learned about relationships, you know, from TV, all those entertainers that have such healthy relationships and are divorced so quickly, in and out of love. Also television, romance novels, movies, talking with friends who have really negative experiences. You know, all the stuff we've learned is, you know, that's where we get our information from. So, you know, the idea that two people meet, fall in love, and live happily ever after is one of probably the biggest myths ever perpetrated on Western civilization. Now, that's kind of sad, isn't it? I don't mean to be negative. Please. I don't want to come off that way. But, you know, what happens a lot of times is like I talked about last week, the chase. People meet, they fall in love, they're attracted to each other, they're having a great time. They begin living together or get married or whatever, and then slowly but surely they start to diminish or destroy their relationship and their love for each other because they have bad habits. You got nasty habits? Let me tell you what some of those are that we do. Probably the top 10 ways to destroy a relationship. These are the destructive things you can do. Now, while I'm talking to you, if you are in a relationship right now, or if you've been in a relationship, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to think about if you do some of these things. And if you even do one of these things I'm going to be talking about today, I really want you to chill and think about reacting differently with your partner. So, one of the first ways you can destroy any relationship that matters to you is to be abusive. Now, it's truly amazing how many people think it's okay to abuse other people, especially those who they care about most. Well, isn't that the thing? Familiarity breeds contempt. So we're married to somebody or we get real comfortable with them and we think that we can lay our bad moods on them all the time. And I'm not talking about physical beating up abuse. That's a no-brainer. We know that that's not okay. Husbands and wives, though, frequently verbally abuse each other. And then, of course, the kids, if you have kids, they'll see that, and then they'll fall into the pattern, which is not healthy. We all get abuse. Employers verbally abuse their employees, vice versa. Again, I'm talking about the milder forms of abuse here, not the obvious. Like daily put-downs, sarcastic remarks, you know, other negative comments, withholding affection, refusing to talk, threatening to leave, that kind of thing. You know that behavior. You've done that before, haven't you? Many people repeatedly engage in these subtle forms of abuse. You know, married couples usually tend to act as if their marriage license gives them the absolute right to verbally or otherwise abuse each other. Well, it's familiarity again. We just get too comfortable and we repeat all those icky patterns that we had in our families with our siblings and we saw our mom and dad do. So the other thing in the abuse, of course, is passive aggressiveness. You know that. You've done that. I know you've done that. I've done that. I don't do it anymore. It's pretty nasty. What does that mean? You know what that means. That means, saying you're going to show up somewhere to meet your partner or your lover, and you don't show up, and then you make a really lame excuse, or you're really late. That's another one. That's very passive aggressive. Consistently, you're late. 15, 20 minutes late. I'm so sorry. That's putting them on the other end to where they're going to wait for you. It gives you power. That passive aggressive behavior is pretty creepy, and that is abusive. All right. Also passive aggressive, making promises. You know, you can talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk. You got to follow through with the action. So you make the promises. I'm going to say, hey, we're going to go do this. Hey, yeah, let's go to so-and-so's party. Let's go have a romantic dinner. Let's go out and take a walk on the beach and have a neat brunch or something like that, right? And then you don't follow through with it. You make a lot of promises. Passive aggressive. Okay. And as harmless as you might think negative interactions are, they're more damaging to our relationships than most people appreciate. Again, sometimes we're so familiar, we're locked into a relationship, whether you're living with someone or whether you're married to someone, you think, whoa, you know what? I got this person. Now I can just let it all hang out. Nope. You have to be on good behavior. And if you're not a nice person, you have to learn nice behaviors. You have to learn how to do that. So if you want your long-term relationships to succeed, you've got to learn to resist these common abusive tendencies. You should resist them at all times, even if you feel justified in responding this way, saying, you're so stupid. What are you, an idiot? What do you mean by that? Things like that. No, name-calling. No name-calling. So don't do that. Well, how do you fix that? You use the I statements. You've heard of that before, right? Instead of saying, you're so stupid. Why did you do that? You don't think of me. You're an idiot. Instead of that kind of name calling and talking, you use the I statements. I know this sounds corny, guys, sometimes. I know, but it works. I feel sad. I feel upset. When you, whatever. So I'd really appreciate it if you could think next time you do that. It kind of hurts me. I feel really sad when you say we're going to do something because you don't follow through and it makes me feel like you just kind of don't care. It really hurts me. Can we talk about it? Is there something going on that, you know, you need to tell me? Is that why you're doing this? No name calling, no accusing, no. Okay. So, one of the 10 ways to destroy any relationship is to be abusive in all those ways I've mentioned. Another good one is being defensive. Oh. Have you ever read that book? It's called What Makes Marriages Succeed and Fail. Came out about 13 years ago, actually. It's John Gottman. He's a psychologist. He's a genius. PhD. And he summarizes more than 20 years of clinical research, which shows, among other things, that married people who repeatedly become defensive when they're challenged, you know, or criticized. And I'm not talking about the abusive challenging, like I just was mentioning. I'm talking about just, why did you do that? Okay? So, again, married people who repeatedly become defensive when they're challenged or criticized by their partner, have much higher rates of unhappiness and divorce. Defensiveness. You're defending. You got to chill out. You got to hear what they're saying. It's not only destructive, it shuts you off from a really valuable source of feedback. So in order to succeed in our relationships, we've got to be willing to admit when we're wrong. You know when you're wrong. You're feeling weird. You know when you're not being a nice person. You know when you've cheated. You know when you've told that little white lie. You know all that stuff. You have to really be willing to admit when you're wrong and look at what you've done. The problem is we're not usually in a good position to recognize when we're wrong. It's really hard to see. Yeah, we have so much going on inside that we can't really clarify, get through all the crud to get clear on that. Hey, if you routinely shut out this valuable source of feedback from somebody, if they're saying, you know, it might be a good idea if you think twice before blowing me away when you're angry about the way I... whatever. Don't clean the kitchen. If you shut out this feedback and always defend your actions or point of view, you're going to damage your relationships. Because you need to allow in all your relationships, especially romantic relationships, you need to allow others to contribute to your knowledge. That's how we learn about ourselves, especially with the ones we love and trust, our partners, our couples, relationships. Now, you're going to continue to commit the same mistakes over and over again. And you've got to hear what the person is saying to you that you're not doing maybe to help or contribute to the relationship, things you do that are not really healthy. You've got to hear it and go, oh, man. You can't act defensively. You don't reject it. The secret to dealing with criticism is to listen to everything the other person is saying and then try to find one or more things you can agree with. Don't automatically go to defending yourself. Well, you know, I'm always in a hurry and I work so hard and I'm so tired all the time and my back hurts and I have a life too. I have hobbies too. Don't go there. My suggestion is to work hard to validate rather than reject what the other person is saying. So the really good thing to do is say, wow, really? Huh. You know what? You want me to help with this? Or you think that I blow up a little too quickly? You think that I'm too hard on our friends? Maybe I should just back off. Okay. All right. What would you suggest I do? It's really a good idea to ask your partner, what would you suggest? How would you suggest I handle this? It's not making you less womanly or vulnerable, more vulnerable. It is in a way, but it's nothing to do with shooting down your ego or who you are. It's making you stronger by allowing someone else to tell you what their feelings are about some of your behaviors. Now, you may think that they're in the twilight zone. They're not really valid or good. Just listen. Shut up and listen. Zip it. Zip it. Okay. And ask what you think they might do to work it through. Okay. That old saying from Ben Franklin. Who? The sting of another's criticism usually comes from the truth in it. So if you want to have happy, healthy, long-lasting relationships, look for the truths about some of your nasty habits and your behaviors and be willing to admit them. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. It's cool. Some of us cannot let go of the old stuff. We're always defensive. Okay? You know what happens, of course. We carry old stuff with us. You know, we've got things inside of us, messages that we get as we are children growing up from our parents, from our siblings, from our relatives, from our friends, from abuse in school, from whatever. And some of these messages, for most of us, are not healthy. They're not good. The messages are, you're not important enough. What you have to say is really not relevant. Children are to be seen and not heard. Do this, do that. We don't care. Oh, your brother is so much more special than you. All those messages we take with us, and then we have bad relationships in school. We have poor relationships romantically because we're very hurt inside, and we take so many things, sadly. And at the same time, we also have built up our defense mechanisms. So we're ready to fight, especially when we're older. Boy, we're ready to defend those things that we think that other people are thinking about us and going to accuse us of because we're still carrying around the old junk that we're not good enough or whatever enough. We don't have it. So we've got to defend it to protect ourselves. Let it go. Let it go. Realize the reality that a lot of the old stuff they said is not true. You're a valuable person. You have a lot to contribute, although within you, you don't feel you do. Look at what you've done. Look at how far you've come. Look at the things you've overcome. You got to pat yourself on the back. Not be defensive. We all make mistakes. All right? That's what you have to do, is get rid of the old stuff, the old messages. We won't be so defensive. We'll be okay with who we are, because we'll know the truth that we are who we are, and we're doing the best we can. And many of the old messages, by the way, that were given to us growing up, by, again, the early family environment, the family or the siblings or whatever, the school, the neighborhood people, things, stuff we are exposed to. A lot of that stuff is not really true. It's about their stuff. Many people put their stuff on us. A lot of our parents weren't taught really how to parent very well. We never get manuals. Well, we have great books now. But a lot of parents don't know quite how to express their emotions to their kids properly, so it's passed on. It's their stuff, and they never learned because their parents did it to them. They never took the time to learn, and the generations go back. And, of course, the older the generation are, the more closed, usually, in expressing emotions and feelings because it really hasn't been okay. But everybody's in therapy now, so we know it's okay, right? Okay. By the way, if you want to give me a call, let me shout out the number here. Once again, and I want to tell you something else. But first of all, if you're calling inside the United States, give me a shout at 1-866-515-6977. And you'll be on the couch with Dr. Michelle. 1-866-515-6977. That's the number inside the U.S. Outside is 323-284-2554. And of course, pop in your code, whatever that may be. By the way, I wanted to tell you, you can contact me at Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, at AOL.com. I'd love to hear from you. And also, of course, check out my website, DrMichelleTherapy.com. It's DrMichelleTherapy.com. Cool. Then you know a little bit more about what I'm about, what I'm talking about. Okay, so back to it again. We are talking about relationships, what we do to destroy them. And we last talked about be defensive all the time and try to defend yourself. And no, just be quiet. Okay, another way to destroy your relationship, be critical. Go for it. Now, while an occasional criticism and constructive feedback is really healthy, you know, we have to do that. It's just what I was talking about. Our partners will say, you know, the key word here was... constructive feedback, occasional criticism. Come on, honey, why do you do it like that? Why don't you try it this way? It's healthy because, you know, you have to be honest. You can't just bite your tongue all the time and hold it in. That's really unhealthy. Okay? Too much of either can be really damaging. If you're constantly complaining or pointing out flaws in your partner's behavior, it really is annoying and very unattractive for men and women. It's like, God. You know, you don't want to be deemed as a nag. That's really a drag. So, go for it. If you want to ruin your relationship, be really critical. You know, a lot of people will keep being critical of their partners because they really believe that they're just trying to help them. Have you done that? Sure you have. And come on now, I want you to admit it. Come on, there are some deeper, more sinister motives at work. You know you wanted to change people in the past, haven't you? Yeah, a lot of folks get into relationships and they say, hey, now this person looks great and they kind of have same kind of background I do, but they have a lot of habits that I'm not going for, I don't like, so I'm going to change them. Once I'm really nice and wonderful to them and lock them in this relationship, then I'm going to change them. I'm going to make them over to fit my image. Or I'm going to try to change their behavior to comply with my standards and what I was brought up. No, you can't change people. This is really common. I'm sure you've done it. And it's a human tendency. We all try to change people because we want to be comfortable with the other person and in the same groove with what we think and believe and all that. But it's another really key pattern that's destructive in our relationships. Okay? So if you're thinking of a long-term relationship with someone, or if you're in one right now, if you've just started a relationship, you've just met someone, don't think you're going to change them. If there's things about those persons or that person you don't like, don't try to change them. You might constructively, healthy, like, say, you know, I don't feel comfortable when you do blah, 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 blah. Would you be willing to change that? Would you be willing to, you know, relationships are all about give and take. They're all about, you know, if I really promise I'm going to work on that. If I'm going to promise that we're going to have a Saturday to ourselves to go do this, and I'm going to hold to it, and we're going to go do something romantic or fun. And if you hold to things and promise and fulfill and bargain, it's giving and taking. That's what it's about. You've got to give up stuff. You can't have it all. And if some kind of a habit that you criticize in a new partner, old partner, really bothers you, and you think you were going to change it, it ain't going to happen. You're not going to change it. It's just going to make your relationship worse. What you have to do when you're getting into the relationship, if there are some really annoying habits about someone, you have to decide whether you're going to be able to live with this. Because you're not going to change it. If you do force someone to change, they're going to resent the hell out of you. They're going to hold it against you. They're going to be angry. They may be passive, so they're going to be on good behavior. Because they're changing for you. If this is such a major thing you want them to change. I wouldn't do it. Don't think you're going to go into a relationship changing somebody. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah, right. I was just talking about you can keep it in and you can hold it in. And if you're trying to change something huge for someone who kept criticizing you, you're going to explode. You're going to blow it. You're going to turn off your affection and the relationship will slowly die. You'll see it if you start criticizing and changing these people that you're in love with or were in love with. So don't try to change somebody. Except if it's small and minor. Gotta weigh what's important to you. All right. Something else to destroy relationships. Be right most of the time. Yeah, baby. I know I'm right. I have confidence in what I say and do. It's one of the biggest mistakes you could make if you want to have a great relationship with somebody else. It's try to be right. And I don't care what relationship you have. Business, friendships, of course, romantic. Why is this so destructive? Because in order for you to be right, guess what happens? Come on, I want to hear it. That's right. I'm getting a nod from the audience here. Excuse me. In order for you to be right, the other person has to be wrong. Right? Isn't that what's implied there? Yeah, we all dislike having others make us feel wrong. All right? If you keep trying to be right most of the time, your partner's going to resent you for this. Yeah, and even if you win the argument or get your way, you're going to pay a price. If you're always trying to be right, you're going to be in trouble. You know what? I've always believed that it's really wise to let people be right, not to pacify them, to hear their arguments, to hear what they have to say as much as possible. Obviously, you're not going to want to compromise on things that are really important to you. It would, if you really think about being right on an argument, whatever the argument may be, and the stupidest arguments, you wouldn't believe some of the dumbest arguments I hear in my office between couples. Some of the arguments. Oh my God, why waste your life on some of the smallest things? I can't believe some of these arguments that I hear. Yes. Talk about your points. Don't be right all the time. Whenever you're wrong, just admit it. Whenever you're right, shut up. Shut up. Yeah, see, I was right. You know what? I was right. Told you about that was happening, and I was right. You know why? Because I know. I'm smart. I was right about that.
Not.
Shut up. Because you know why? The other person will know you were right. And if the other person has class and is pretty open and comfortable with who they are, they'll go, wow, you were right. And you can say, yep. So, there you go. Something else you can do to destroy a relationship. Be selfish. Just be selfish. Yeah, in addition to being right, just be selfish. Try to get your own way. That's a little different from being right. Try to get your own way. Think only about your own wants, needs, and desires. Put your concerns first. Give others' needs much less importance. Okay? This is a great way to destroy any type of relationship. And one of the most common issues that I see between men and women who've been married for a while is just one is more selfish than the other. One of the other partners is always bending and allowing. Okay, sure. I'll help you with your wants, desires, and needs. It's a two-way street, baby. You've got to give and take. You've got to do that. So don't be selfish. Listen to the other person. Listen to what they have to say. I don't care if, look, if she wants to go see a chick film and you want to go watch the game with your buddies, give up the game a couple of times. It's give and take. If she wants to go see the chick film, do it. Let her do it. Go with her. Hold hands in the movies. Give and take. Ladies, he wants to go to the game with his pals. Let him. Let his pals come over. Fix, break out the beer. Fix goodies. Welcome them in. Your man is. Now, also another thing that goes under that heading is be a little tactful. Yeah, have some tact when you're talking to someone about your feelings and about things that you would like to criticize about them. Always a good idea to do that. All righty. We're going to try to sort out this phone thing. 1-866-515-6977. 1-866-515-6977 here in the U.S. atop beautiful downtown Los Angeles on the 36th floor. This is Dr. Michelle with you on the couch. We're on the couch today, aren't we? We're having a good time. What we're going to do is take a little short break. I'd love to hear from you about your relationships. When I return, I will be continuing to tell you how to make your relationships fail. Some of the self-destructive things we all do. Coming up here with Dr. Michelle on the couch on BBS Talk Radio. Friday, here in the City of Angels, high atop the One Wilshire Building. Right across the street there. We're on the 36th floor having a wonderful time today. And we're talking about how to make your relationships fail. Some of the destructive things you can do. And I always invite you to give me a call. I'll give you that number in a minute. But first, let me also tell you about my email address. If you'd like to contact me, I'm at docmichelle@aol.com. Also on my website, up at Dr. Michelle. It's drmichelletherapy.com. drmichelletherapy.com. How's that? All right, so we talked about all the destructive things you can do to your relationships. I've got more. Oh, yes, there's more. You know you've done them. we talked about being abusive, not physically necessarily. That's obvious. We're talking about those verbal abusive things that we do to others, name-calling, stuff like that. Be defensive, right? Try to defend your actions when you know you're wrong. Also, to destroy a relationship, be really critical of your partner. You get into it. You call them names. You lay it on them. Don't do that. Be right most of the time. That's another biggie. You've got to be right most of the time because your ego won't let down. You cannot admit that you're wrong. Don't do that. Admit you're wrong. No. Allow it. It's not going to make you less of a man or a woman. Oh, we have a caller here. All right. By the way, that number, 1-866-515-6977 in the U.S. Let's see if we can pull this person up here. Good morning. This is Dr. Michelle with you on the couch. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Dr. Michelle, this is Brad from Westlake.
Hey, Brad, how are you doing
today? How are you doing?
Good, I'm doing fine. Well, it's so nice to hear from you. You've been listening to the show?
I have a funny story to tell you about, you know, destructive relationships, but there's an overlap on your show. The previous show is overlapping on your show right now.
Okay.
So I just wanted to
let you know. The what's overlapping?
It's like if there's the past show is overlapping on your show now.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe your engineer can fix that.
Yeah, let's see if
whatever.
We can fix that a little bit. How's that? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll try to fix that. Okay. So what did you want to...
Yeah, it's still playing like that.
Okay.
So maybe you want to fix
that. I'm going to have my engineer try to fix that for me. Can you hear me on the phone okay?
I can hear you fine on the phone.
All right, great. Why don't you...
turn down my computer. Hey, I really like your show. It's really great.
Well, it's nice to have you out there. And where are you calling from again?
Yeah.
Westlake, did you say?
Westlake,
okay,
yeah.
Los Angeles.
Westlake, California.
Okay. So tell me about, you were going to tell me about a destructive relationship. Are you still in that relationship, by the way?
I had a destructive relationship. This girl, it lasted for about a year and a half, but, you know, she would lie to me, and I'd catch her in these lies, and then what she'd end up doing I spent a lot of money on like making my house nice.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I'd have pottery with plants in it and, you know, ficus trees and other assorted, you know, vegetation in the house.
Mm.
And she'd take, when we were in the heat of an argument, she would take these pots and throw them on the ground and break them. And it was like, I couldn't believe she did that. And we'd make up, and of course, we, you know.
Makeup sex is good.
And it was fun because the makeup was great.
Right, of course.
But I would end up having all these broken things.
Oh, so she liked to throw things. That's how she expressed her anger. Would she yell at scream at you?
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Now, would she yell at scream at you?
She'd scream, she'd yell, she'd curse, she'd say all these bad words, all these things, and it was just it was just crazy.
So she was what we call a rageaholic.
So absolutely.
How long did you notice? When did you first start noticing her behaviors like this, and how long did you put up with it? You said a year or something? Oh, you liked it. Oh, you're kinky. You're a kinky dude. So you like that?
Until she broke a painting.
Why did you like it? Why did you like it?
You're out of here. You're out of here.
Okay.
So it was really crazy.
Let me ask you this: why did you like it?
It turned me on.
Oh.
You know, it was passion. You know, she had a lot of passion. But you know, it lasted for about a year and a half, and then I just. You know, she wanted to get serious, but I just couldn't see myself with this kind of woman.
Well, that's smart of you. A year and a half—that's kind of a long time.
I have to buy brand new pots and pans and nice stuff. I had Waterford crystal. She'd break Waterford crystal, and it was absolutely crazy. So
sex must have been really great for you to put up with that kind of thing. Buying things all the time? Boy, that's crazy.
Good. It was good for a while.
Well, okay. So what within you do you think made you think that somebody who yelled and screamed and threw things was sexy? What did you learn about growing up? What is that about? Were you with passive people all the time, or were you always around explosive people, and did that get your juices going or something?
My father yelled a lot. Mm-hmm. But not to go back into my history, it's just I never knew anybody like that.
Ah.
I never knew a woman to get so upset that she had to physically pick something up and throw it on the ground.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was crazy.
Sometimes we like people who do that because we just are, number one, addicted to the drama. I have a little... formula that I work out with people sometimes who have relationship issues, and I call it I'm going to try to detox the drama from your life. Yeah, I mean, it is. It is truly addictive. You know, the fights and the, so you were kind of, you kind of admit you were kind of addicted to that drama and fights. And now you wouldn't.
Oh yeah.
You wouldn't. Because yeah. Go ahead.
It was ups and downs.
You wouldn't stand there passively. You would engage her when she'd get crazy and start throwing things.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You like that stuff.
Oh yeah. I'd restrain her.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's.
What are you doing?
Oh,
you know,
so you
hold
yeah.
her down and,
okay.
and you know, not hurt her.
Right.
I wouldn't hurt her at all. I was just, you know, I would just stop her.
So you both were addicted to this drama.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. The makeup sex was great.
Okay. Well, all righty. And then did you finally realize, let's see here. What made you realize that this was really a not a healthy person? And what made you decide to get rid of her? I mean, if you liked it and were addicted to it, there must have been something that made you shut
the,
it off.
The realization at that particular moment that she wanted to get serious. She wanted to get married. And I looked at her and I went, there's no way I can marry a person like that.
Right.
There's just no way I could get serious with someone like that.
Yeah. Well, that's good thinking on your part. That was really a good call. that was a very good call. No, because...
I thought it was a good call.
Well, I mean, absolutely. As I've been talking about, you've been listening earlier today, that it's, you know, we get into these really bad habits with people. And we're talking about how to destroy a relationship, how to make a relationship really fall apart. And one is to be abusive, and that's exactly, you know, what it sounds like she was doing to you. And we're not talking, again, physical abuse. We're talking screaming, yelling, throwing things, going crazy. And, you know.
See, for the first the first couple times she did it, it was exciting.
Right.
It was fine. And, you know, even though we were upset with each other.
Right.
It was exciting, you know.
Right, right.
I never had anybody do that before. But then all of a sudden, the realization that, you know, she broke, you know, a couple $1,000 worth of stuff. I just,
yeah.
That's it. No more.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, the valuable thing. You're having to, you know, pony up the dough for the valuable things again. So, exactly.
Yeah.
So good for you.
And she would pay. I mean, okay. She would, you know, take care of things.
Okay. So the
it was definitely a crazy time in my life too. So.
Were you honest with her pretty much in the beginning and throughout the relationship, kind of saying, "Well, this is really great." Did you ever say, "Oh, we're going to get married and we're going to have a long term thing"? Were you ever deceptive like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I thought that possibly she was marriage material, but for a very short period of time.
Did you try to change her?
No.
Yeah.
She was kind of a wild child kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't want to change her.
Well, that's good. So have you been in any other relationships like that since you dumped this one?
No.
So you learned
one
your lesson.
Of those, that's enough.
You're one of those guys that learned the lesson.
Oh yeah.
Oh good.
Oh yeah.
Oh good.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm really glad.
Definitely.
Well, thank you, Brad, for calling in and sharing that information with us. And I invite
okay.
to...
I love your show.
Thank you.
And thank you.
All right. Take good care, Brad. All right. If you'd like to give me a call in the U.S. here, it's 1-866-515-6977. Okay, 866-515-6977. Or out of the country, of course, 323-284-2554. And what I'm going to do is... stop that. All right. Great. Now, I was telling you about some of the top 10 ways to really destroy relationships. I was going to next tell you, we were talking about being unfaithful as well during the break. We, some of the folks in here, we last spoke about being dishonest. Tell little white lies. And I'll get into that a little bit more. If you tell little white lies from time to time, you pretend everything is just fine. We talked about that. You know about it. So don't lie. Be pretty honest if you can. Now, another biggie. Of course, do not be unfaithful to your partner. Right? Don't forget the vows and promises you made to each other. Do not go behind your partner's back and do something you know that they wouldn't appreciate. Do not justify your behavior by saying, those promises were made in the past. Things are different now. We've gotten to know each other really well. This is how I am. And I'm not talking necessarily about sexual infidelity. That's not the only thing. We often do a whole bunch of different types of major and minor transgressions. Even though they're not healthy, we go out, you know, go out clubbing with friends. We make excuses. Oh, my friend's really having a hard time with her boyfriend. She needs me. We go out clubbing with them, and then we start hitting on guys, have a few drinks, and vice versa. And then we come home to our partners, and we say, oh, I was with Ashley all afternoon and all evening in her apartment. We were drinking wine and just talking about how awful her boyfriend is. No! You were out with her partying to make her pain go away. So it's violating one of the sacred agreements of your relationship to be unfaithful. Go out, flirt with others. Flirt with those people at work, ladies. Flirt with those cute guys at work. Don't do that. All right? Whether or not that agreement to flirt and to be unfaithful to someone, you know, was openly stated or just plain understood at the beginning of the relationship or in the marriage, it's a surefire way to kill a troubled union. It is. Now, if your relationship isn't dead before you decided to commit such an unfaithful act, it will be, because you usually get caught. Oh, yeah. And really, smart husbands and wives or partners are like forensic scientists. If they suspect something, the perfume, the makeup, I'm not talking about just guys. Mm-mm. Talking about women, too. Little telltale signs. Drinks spilled on the jacket, on the blouse. Things like that. So don't be unfaithful. You'll just feel really bad about it. You'll end up getting busted. Or if you're one of those really good people who won't end up getting busted, then hopefully you have a conscience and you'll feel really horrible. So that's a no-no. Another big way to destroy a relationship is to be superior. If you think of yourself as smarter, prettier, cooler, hipper, more worthwhile than other people, or you make it your habit to put other people down in order to make yourself feel good about yourself. That's that whole thing about insecurity that we have. Yeah. If you make a big effort to do that, then you're really messing with a relationship. Do not be superior. If you always strive to win any competition and never give anyone a break, you always have to be right, like we talked about earlier. This is a great way to get your partner, or other people for that matter, to really dislike you. Really think you're a jerk. You know, it also shows that you're not really very intelligent at all, either. Shows basically that you're really insecure. You know, there's a disorder in the DSM. It's called narcissistic personality disorder. More men actually, statistically, are diagnosed with this than women. This is a cluster B, as they call it, axis 2. And it's about being superior, appearing. Everything that you need, want, think about yourself, if you think you're smarter, cooler, hipper, more intelligent, that's in that diagnosis. You've met people like that, haven't you? Women on the same cluster B, you know, we have histrionic. We're the ones that we have to look, sexy, and we have to act out dramatically and gain all the attention that way. That's more of a statistically a diagnosis for women. So is the borderline, but that's something completely different. But it does have the narcissism in it, so. Anyway, if you don't want people to dislike you, particularly your partner, or your husband or wife, just keep on acting superior. Keep them under your thumb so you'll have control. You know, we all have superior skills and exceptional talents. We do, no matter what they are. Whatever they are, you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be, you have talents. You've got to find them. But that makes you no more or less lovable, no more or less worthy than anyone else. So you got to reconsider. It's a really good idea to not think that you're superior. You have to think respect. Same level playing field. Yeah, I once knew a couple that I was just thinking about them. Wow, that's really cool. She had a master's level, MBA degree. And her husband had a couple of years of college. He was a really nice guy. He was a cool guy. Blue collar kind of guy. Like to work with his hands, woodworker kind of guy. Really made some beautiful wood pieces, actually. He was an artist. He was a craftsman. He was a hands-on kind of guy. And I think what I saw in the problem with this relationship was that she was always trying to prove how much more intelligent that she had that degree. You know, if you're going into a relationship like this, you'd better, if you have to prove to someone how intelligent you are and constantly remind them of all of the accolades you've received from society and all the degrees you have, and they're not living up to your level, you've got to really rethink that stuff. Absolutely. Don't do it. Don't be superior. You'll kill a relationship. Another great way to kill a relationship is to be controlling. Ha, 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 ha. Be really controlling. Yeah. Keep very close tabs on your partner at all times. And this way you can prevent him or her from changing, growing, or maybe even deciding to leave you at a later date. Be really controlling. If you try to get other people to think and feel exactly as you do, if you try to intimidate them, dominate them, keep them from behaving in ways you don't approve, you're going to mess it up. People will hold in resentment for you. They will dislike you again. Do not control your partner. It's a really good way to end up living alone. It's all about insecurity. It totally is. Control. You know, you have control over them. Keep tabs on them. A really wonderful, loving thing to do is allowing others to have their freedom. I'm not talking about being unfaithful, letting them go out and being promiscuous. I'm just talking about letting them, you know, have their own life, have their own interests, just do what they want to do. Okay? So all these things we've been talking today, really good ways to destroy your relationship. So think about what I've been talking about. And we're going to talk more about relationships next week. And we're going to talk about some of the destructive celebrity relationships that we see out there. Why are these people in the limelight so self-destructive? You know who I'm talking about. We're going to look at all the people who hurt themselves. It's really tough to be under constant scrutiny and be in the limelight and be a superstar. Must be. I think there's a requirement that comes with being stardom, superstardom. They should probably get some counseling because it's a really lonely place to be. A lot of people don't identify with you. I wouldn't know that personally, but just reading and studying and finding out about the psyche of some of these people. That's a lot of what it's about. All righty, this is Dr. Michelle with you on the couch. We're going to just take it off out of here. I'm going to have a little bye-bye music. You have a great day. Thank you for joining me. And I'll be back next Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning. Don't forget my website. That's drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. Or you can contact me at docmichelle@aol.com. Take good care of yourself.